Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Howard Bender at RotoBuzzGuy on Twitter, and you're listening to Quick Hits on the Fantasy Alarm Podcast. Well, here we are in the midst of week four of the NFL regular season, and oh baby, there's a lot going on already. Thursday night game in the books. Kudos to AJ Green for being the fantasy stud that we all knew him to be. But wow, looking forward here towards Sunday, we've got a lot going on. I'm talking about struggling quarterbacks. I'm talking about changes in the backfield. I'm talking about injuries that you need to keep monitoring. So with that, I've decided here's today's episode. And that's right, we're going to talk about the top fantasy football headlines going into Sunday of week four. And there's no better place to start than in the Steel City. Let's go with Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell makes his hallowed return to the field tomorrow. That's right, Sunday. It's Le'Veon Bell time. If you've been stashing him this whole time, get him into those lineups. He is playing. He is going to be the number one guy there. Mike Tomlin has already said that Bell looks very, very well conditioned and that he will be incredibly busy on Sunday against the Chiefs. The Chiefs, mind you, who give up an average of 123 rushing yards per game. So good, solid matchup for Bell. Tomlin pretty excited about getting him in there. I'm sure the rest of the Steelers are as well. Maybe the D'Angelo Williams owners out there, if they don't have Le'Veon Bell, are a little bit concerned. And you know what? You should be. However, you can't drop D'Angelo Williams right now. Forget about the fact that Tomlin said that Williams is still going to get his share of some carries during this game against the Chiefs, because he's also turned around and said that when Williams is in the backfield, he's really looking at putting Le'Veon Bell coming out of the slot. So that doesn't necessarily mean that Williams is going to be a huge contributor. However, you can't drop him until Bell proves himself on the field. If Bell proves himself on the field, if Bell is healthy and Bell is cutting and running the way he is supposed to, then it might be safe to drop him if you need that bench spot. However, should Bell get banged up, should Bell look a little rusty, whatever the case may be, hold Williams until you are 100% sure that Bell is locked in there. Let's stick with this game. Let's go to the other side. Let's talk about the Chiefs running back, Jamaal Charles. He is also supposed to make his return to the field on Sunday. But while he is going to do that, keep in mind, the practice schedule this past week, Charles has taken some first-team reps, but for the most part, he's been working with the scout team. That tells me that Andy Reid isn't quite ready to commit to Jamaal Charles yet, especially because they've got a bye in week five. So maybe he tests the water, he gives a few carries Charles' way, he sees how he's running, but Spencer Ware could end up getting the majority of the work if they just don't want to push Charles too much and just get him just a little taste and then rest next week and then come back for a big, strong week six. Similarly with D'Angelo Williams, Spencer Ware, you do not drop him. Again, Charles has to prove that he's capable of shouldering the load. If he doesn't, well, then you got a great back in Spencer Ware, who has more than proven his mettle, at least through the first 3 weeks of the season. Let's take this over now to Washington against Cleveland in the capital city. That's right. Wow. All eyes are on Terrell Pryor. He was, without question, the most highly sought after free agent on the waiver wire this past week, and rightfully so. Let's face facts. The dude passes for 35 yards. He rushes for 22 and a touchdown. He catches 144 receiving yards. I mean, come on. This was amazing. And while I think that Terrell Pryor has a really good shot of being the focal point of this offense and really of doing a little bit of everything again, before you just sell the farm and you say, I'm putting all my eggs into Terrell Pryor's basket, see how this game goes first. Last week, they weren't really expecting or didn't know what to expect from Pryor. This week, they do. Now, the Redskins, their run defense, I think it ranks like 22nd in the league. They're last in the run. They 25th overall for their defense, last against the run. That tells me Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson are going to be the guys who are probably going to see a lot of the work, especially if Cleveland takes the lead. Now, if it goes back and forth and Cleveland's defense fails, they got to get more creative. Hello, Terrell Pryor. Okay, no Corey Coleman, definitely no Josh Gordon. Pryor's going to need to be relied most heavily on a receiver. However, lots of stuff out of the Wildcat, and we could be seeing a lot of gimmicky plays. If you don't have anybody to put in, yes, Pryor can be used as a flex option this week. But if you do have somebody who is a little bit more proven, a little bit, you know, equally worthwhile, but just somebody who's got a track record, that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. Like, I mean, for example, if I had to choose between Terrell Pryor and, say, Cole Beasley, I'd probably go Pryor's way. However, if you're talking about a receiver who's a little bit better than that, say, like, even like a Larry Fitzgerald, guess what? I'm probably going with Fitzy on that one. And speaking of Fitz, that's going to take me to my next segment here, and that is the struggling quarterbacks. Two in particular you need to watch: Carson Palmer, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'll start with Palmer because you know what? The dude has looked like dog shit from day one of training camp, okay? Last year was a great year for him. He looks terrible right now. In camp, he looked awful. And in this regular season now, he's got 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And this guy makes bad decisions after bad decisions. I mean, it just looks terrible. It doesn't matter that he's got fits. It doesn't matter that Michael Floyd is back from his concussion. It doesn't matter that John Brown is there. It doesn't matter that David Johnson is the number one running back in the NFL right now. Carson Palmer is going to – the Cardinals are going to live and die by Carson Palmer. And if he folds, his team is in some serious trouble. And I really feel like he's going to fold. I just don't like what he's doing. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to do too much. Maybe he's just making – you know, he's trying to force the situation. Whatever it might be, he looks terrible doing it. I mean, this Buffalo game last week was atrocious, absolutely atrocious. So – I don't think that, I think like by like week 6, you might actually get like the quote unquote phantom injury. And all of a sudden he gets pulled out of action, and we'll have to see what happens to Arizona from there. What's Bruce Arians going to do? Oh, I don't even want to think about it. The other quarterback I wanted to touch on was Ryan Fitzpatrick. 6 interceptions last week. Terrible. 2 of them were tip passes. So I might even just give him the benefit of the doubt on that, but still a 4 regular interceptions that just looked terrible. I don't know who he was throwing to. Did he think that he was on the Chiefs? I have no clue what that was. I mean, that was bad decision after bad decision. That was him trying to thread the needle where he had no thread. It just looked like a nightmare. And now Brandon Marshall still is not at 100%. His 3 catches on 10 targets last week really kind of grinds your gears. I almost said Wayne Krabet, but hey, guess what? Eric Decker, Wayne Krabet, we might as well call him the same guy, right? Torn rotator cuff, probably out for the season now. Huge nightmare for the Jets. Big, big problems. It's the only person that benefits out of there is Quincy Enunwa. And while you know what? Quincy Enunwa can make for a nice wide receiver 3 bye week filler. I'm not putting my trust into Enunwa to be anything more than that. I mean, especially with the way Fitz looks right now. They're playing against Seattle this week. It's the Legion of Boom in MetLife Stadium. I don't have any high hopes for any New York Jet this week. And moving forward, a lot's going to hinge on Fitzpatrick. If he can't hold it together, this team's going to crumble. So keep an eye on that. Speaking of crumbling, hey, how about that Texans defense, huh? Let's talk about defenses. Nobody talks about D anymore. But, oh, my Lord, the loss of J.J. Watt is going to be an absolute problem. It really is going to be a nightmare for the Texans. Their run defense already ranks only 22nd in the league, and now you're taking away one of the best guys to come up and help stuff the run in J.J. Watt. You got Devin Stills, you got Antonio Smith. Those two guys are going to try and fill the void there up in the middle. But let's face facts. You could take Devin Stills and you could take Antonio Smith. You could mesh the two of them together and create this giant superhuman. And he still wouldn't be as good as J.J. Watt. Not even close to as good as J.J. Watt is. So big problem there. And you know what? For all you IDP people out there, Jadeveon Clowney, you thought he was seeing some double teams before. Now that they don't have to worry as much about the middle and J.J. Watt, his pass rush is really going to be bleak. If you were thinking about sticking with that Texans defense the entire way, guess what? Maybe you should be thinking more about streaming some Ds and mixing and matching. You'll see what happens this week when they take on the Titans and they start having to deal with that thunder of DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. So this should be a big test for them and to see how they can rebound and work without J.J. Watt. Next topic I want to talk about, let's go back to the backfields again. Let's talk about Baltimore. So it looks like Terrence West is going to be given the starting nod. Justin Forsett has been pretty ineffective this season so far. 31 carries, 98 yards to 3.1 yards per carry average. West hasn't really been much better. He's got 33 carries, 119 yards. It's a 3.6 yards per carry average. That's not bad in comparison to Justin Forsett, but it's not great moving forward. However, if they are going to give Terrence West the ball more, if they are going to treat him as the number one running back in that system, well, guess what? They're going up against the Raiders. The Raiders ranked 28th against the run. Everybody sits there and talks about the Raiders secondary and that it is bad, that it isn't bad, and people are going to test it. Let's focus on the run defense there for the Raiders. It sucks, and I really feel like the Ravens are going to be able to take advantage of that. So, listen, if you're desperate for a flex play, Terrence West might not be such a bad choice there. So keep him in mind for this week. Next one I want to talk about, sticking with the ground game, is Jordan Howard. Baby Jordan Howard. First of all, let's give a little shout-out to my man Colby Conway here at FantasyAlarm.com. Colby was cracking on Jeremy Langford. He knew I owned Jeremy Langford in a couple of leagues. I believe he said that Jeremy Langford could shake tackles as well as a vending machine or something to that effect. Either way, Langford out for a month now. Howard's getting the start. Howard's start could not come at a better time against Detroit. Detroit, their 30th ranked defense, it's 27th against the run. They're giving up almost 115 yards per game, 5.1 yards per carry. That's huge. Chicago with Brian Hoyer definitely needs to establish the run early. They want to try and control the clock and force Stafford into just, you know, having to chuck it left and right. Well, they're going to do that with Jordan Howard. Let's move over to the Monday night game and talk about the backfield there as well. It looks like Rashad Jennings is going to be out. And with Rashad Jennings out, we're talking about Orleans Darkwa and Paul Perkins. Now, Darkwa is probably going to get the start. He had 10 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown last week. Looked pretty good. He'll probably get the nod, but Ben McAdoo has said that he likes what Paul Perkins is doing right now, and he kind of he feels like he's ready to step up. So with that, I would say that look for it to be a committee for as long as Jennings is out this week at least. I mean, you don't want to start him against Minnesota, but after this week, you could be moving into, well, I guess more of a committee situation. Last-minute injury news, Sammy Watkins thrown on injured reserve short-term, but that still means that he's not coming back for 6-8 weeks or something ridiculous like that. The Bills are in a world of trouble right now with that. They have no passing game. Tyrod Taylor loses value tremendously. And you know what? As much as that's going to be great for LeSean McCoy, teams are going to start stacking the box heavily against the Bills. And the last point that we got here coming in for tomorrow or Sunday, shall we say, who's quarterbacking those Patriots? Garoppolo's questionable. Brissett's questionable. Belichick and his usual tight-lipped, not going to tell nothing, going to lock it away, throw away the key here. Won't say who's going to be under center for him, but you know what? Guess what? Doesn't really matter. The two of them are probably one and the same. Start your Gronks. Start your Blunts, or start your Edelmans. That's what's going to work. definitely stick with those guys. They'll probably be the guys to own at least now through the rest of the season for the Patriots. Well, except Blunt will be a sell high once Tom Brady returns. So there you go, guys. Those are the top headlines coming up for week four of the NFL regular season. Best of luck to you. Make sure you stay on top of all the news, all the injuries, all the inactives, and get yourself the W this week. My name's Howard Bender. This has been Quick Hits on the Fantasy Alarm Podcast.